the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We're coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Special guest right now. Very excited to have him along. Dan Lentz joined Law Forward in 2021, bringing with him over a decade of litigation experience. He has litigated on behalf of ballot access in Wisconsin, calling for accountability for election sabotage and ensuring the fair administration of our election system. Dan Lentz, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, big news, obviously, with the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz in April. And very shortly after that, Law Forward brought a case before the Supreme Court about gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit about the background of this, Dan, if you can.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So in August of 23, Law Forward, along with our co-counsel at the at the Campaign Legal Center and Stafford Rosenbaum and the Harvard Law School and Arnold and Porter, brought a case on behalf of 19 individual voters, folks from all over the state with all sorts of different backgrounds, who believed that their right to vote had been impaired by our current legislative maps. We brought a case asking the Supreme Court to take original jurisdiction, which is something they can do. And in October, the court took the case up on two specific issues. One, whether the current legislative maps violate our Constitution's requirement that districts be contiguous. And two, whether the current maps violate the separation of powers because of how they're put in place. So we had briefing and argument. And on November 21st, there was oral argument in the Supreme Court. And now we're waiting for a decision from the court on what's going to come next.
Dan, what does contiguous mean? Explain what that actually means, what the state constitution says, and then how these maps are actually drawn.
Sure. So what the state constitution says is that our legislative districts, both our assembly and senate districts, are to be made up of contiguous territory. And what the Supreme Court told us that meant way back in 1892 was that they can't have detached pieces. That contiguous basically means what it says, that districts are supposed to be whole. You shouldn't have to leave your legislative district to get to another part of it. And our maps don't follow that rule. Right now, 75 of our districts, 54 assembly districts and 21 Senate districts have these types of detached territories or blobs that aren't part of the whole district. And that causes, you know, all sorts of problems is not the way that we expect our legislative districts to look and not the way that legislative districts look throughout the rest of the country.
One thing that's always stuck out to me is the term packing and cracking. So can you explain that, please? What does packing and cracking voters mean?
Sure. So whenever you're trying to put together a political gerrymander, whenever you're trying to draw maps to advantage one party, what you want to do is diminish the voting power of the other party. And you can do that two ways, cracking and packing. Cracking means dividing up voters from the other party into districts where they'll never win, right? So you'd have like a 45% Democratic district by pulling those voters based on where they live and where they voted into Republican districts or into the districts of the other party. Packing is the opposite. So if you have districts where you're not going to be able to crack the voters and make it a district that advantages your party, you want to fit as many voters into these other districts as you can so that you can increase your power across other districts. And that's called packing. And that's why you see, you know, in places like Dane County or Racine, these districts that are way the other direction, you know, they're 85-95% Democratic. Those are PAC districts.
Dan Lentz is our guest. If you're just joining us, he is from Law Forward, and we're talking about the case that they have brought before the Wisconsin Supreme Court about the gerrymander in Wisconsin.
Dan, one of the things that we saw in the opening arguments or the opening statements was a Justice Bradley interrupting and raising a question of why now? Why are you doing this now, not years ago? And on another show, someone brought up a very good point. It's like, we can do because we can. You have the ability to do this. It's why, you know, they didn't bring up the Dobbs case to the Supreme Court until, you know, just recently, if you will, in the past couple of years.
When they thought they would have a more sympathetic court.
Can you speak on that? Because it was very surprising to me just to see her just interrupt within 7 seconds of him opening, and just that kind of almost a tell of like, this is a problem.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. So Justice Rebecca Bradley has made it clear that she does not feel that this was properly brought. Our 19 petitioners were not part of the previous redistricting litigation. They weren't part of the Whitford case. Mm-hmm. They are folks who are bringing constitutional claims that have not been resolved by this court and need to be resolved. These are issues that the court did not adjudicate back in 2021 and 2022 when it was addressing these maps in the first instance, or putting them in place, I should say. These are important constitutional questions. These are clear constitutional questions. And as my co-counsel said, these we don't think are arguments that need to cut by, you know, break down by ideological view. These are clear constitutional issues. This is what the Supreme Court has told us they want to hear, is what does our Constitution mean? And in this instance, we think it's very clear. It means that these districts need to be whole.
And who should be the one then will decide the new lines? What would your litigants like to see? Who should take control of this?
So what we've suggested to the court is that they take control of it by taking submissions from the parties and then using an expert, a referee that they would appoint that would be independent of the parties, who can advise them on map making issues, who'd review submissions from the parties and say, okay, you know, this one does better on this score, this one does better on this score, this is how you should think about these maps. That's one option available to the court. We suggested some names that they could use for that purpose. There are some other options, both that the court has suggested and the parties have suggested for how they could put maps in place. But the important thing is that they need to put maps in place before 2024, and there's plenty of time for them to do so.
And even if that happens, though, Dan, there is no guarantee that Democrats are going to sweep Wisconsin in all races, and you know, and that will just be the way going forward forever and ever and ever.
No, quite the contrary. Our petitioners are not trying to put in place a Democratic gerrymander. We don't think that's appropriate. What we're asking the court to do, as it considers new maps and however it puts them in place, is to use maps that are responsive to the will of the people. And that means sometimes Democrats will win, and it means sometimes Republicans will win. That maps that actually reflect the will of the people, which we know changes over time, is a basic expectation of our democracy.
And what don't Wisconsinites like?
We don't like cheaters.
That's something that Jane says, and I poke fun, but I do love it's a true sentiment she brings up when we talk about this matter, is that at the end of the day, Wisconsin being what it is, which is a 50-50 purple state, that the people want fair maps, fair elections, because we don't respect or like those who cheat to get into office or anywhere, really.
I think we just want a fair fight. I think most Wisconsin residents just want it to be fair and not gerrymandered one way or the other. And I will die on this hill that Wisconsinites do not respect people who cheat. Yeah. Except unless maybe if they're the cheaters. Throw that little caveat in there. So, Dan, what is going to be the next thing going forward now? Is it just a matter of waiting, or what happens next?
Well, we expect a decision from the court. We don't know when that will be. That will tell us whether the current maps are constitutional or not. And if they're not, what the court plans to do moving forward, both in terms of the process and the criteria that they'll use in selecting any remedial plan. So we should hopefully see that decision soon, and then that'll lay out the next couple months. But again, plenty of time to get that done before maps need to be in place for the August and November elections.
And is there anything that people who are listening can do if they're concerned about this and they would like to get involved? Is it too late to I don't know, take some action, take something that's actually doable?
Well, it is never too late to get involved in the Fair Maps fight, I'm happy to say. there's a lot that needs to be done, both in terms of this litigation and the work we're doing. You can go to lawforward.org and learn more about it. And then also get involved in the Fair Maps fight more generally. I mean, one thing that we need in this state is redistricting reform going forward, both statutory and constitutional reform that permits or that avoids this problem in 2030 when we're going to be faced with a new census. To make sure that we can have fair maps each time that we have to redistrict anew.
And I'm curious how you respond to critics who say the maps are fine, it's all good.
Or just wait.
Yeah, why can't we wait? Well, yeah, why can't we drag this out a little bit longer? What's your response to that then?
Well, I mean, one thing, we shouldn't wait for the constitutional remedy. I mean, this is a clear constitutional violation. And in no other instances would you tell someone, well, don't worry about it. You'll get your day, 6 years from now. If the maps violate the Constitution, they need to be fixed. And the other thing I would say is that these maps are not working for the state of Wisconsin. I think that's been clear since they were put in place in 2011 and only modified slightly. They are not working for our state. They're not working for the issues that people care about, anything from gun control to abortion rights to the environment, to you name it. These maps and the way that they've distorted our legislature have caused all sorts of problems.
And essentially, if the maps are redrawn, at least it's my understanding, then our elected officials will feel a little bit more pressure to actually respond to the wants and needs of their constituents because they won't be in such safe districts anymore.
That's certainly our hope and our expectation, is that the maps that the court would put in place would just make the legislators from whatever party more responsive to the voters in their districts and to the will of the people of the state.
Absolutely. Dan Lentz from Law Forward, thank you so very much for joining us, Dan. Keep us posted and let us know how things are going. You're always welcome to join us on As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Stay close. When we return, garbage in the Mississippi River. This is As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app at any place you find your apps, your app store. You can call and text directly from the app. You can access all of the shows across the Civic Media Network. And if you're going to be traveling for the holidays, maybe you want to download a few podcasts before you hit the road. That would be great. Dan Lentz was just here from Law Forward talking about the case before now the Wisconsin Supreme Court about our gerrymandered maps. Coming up in just a little bit, I want to find out what your definition of a nap is. Critically important things happening on As Goes Wisconsin.
We talk about the real issues here on As Goes Wisconsin.
Facing Wisconsinites napping, and this is tied into something that's happening at UW-Madison, but we started talking about naps and what constitutes naps. So that is coming up at 11:30. Right now, though, an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that I find very, very distressing, and I know we're aware of it and people are cognizant of it, but I just don't think we are appreciative of just how messy we are as people and our garbage. I mean,
there's such a tone.
Well, I find it exceptionally distressing when they do studies about just how much trash ends up in our water, and that's the water we drink from.
Yeah.
It's kind of important, folks.
Yes, I don't disagree with you.
Between 2021 and 2022, volunteers from St. Paul, the Quad Cities in Iowa and Illinois, in St. Louis, Missouri, Rosedale, Mississippi, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, logged all the garbage they found in the Mississippi River. They found 80,000 litter items were logged in that 1 year, that data collection period. 80,000 litter items. And that's only in a couple communities along the Mississippi River. That's not all the communities along the river. And we need to keep in mind that when you see a piece of garbage on the street or a piece of paper or a plastic water bottle and it gets washed into a storm drain, that goes into our water systems. Granted, there are filtration systems, but there are things that still get through.
Yeah.
That includes mattresses and through tires.
Through the drains?
But if things get washed into waterways, if there's enough runoff, things get washed directly into rivers.
Mm-hmm.
People will throw their garbage alongside riverbanks.
Absolutely. I mean, yes.
Right?
Yes, it happens all the time.
And so that is the stuff that is going unfiltered through the Mississippi River all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico. It's bad.
It's very bad.
It's very bad.
It's 80,000 bad.
The 10 most commonly found items.
We need a drum roll or something. This isn't funny. It's just, go for it. Top 10.
9,800 food wrappers.
Okay.
McDonald's wrappers, Burger King, whatever. Over 6,700 beverage bottles, soda bottles, water bottles. 5,700 foam fragments.
Foam fragments.
So foam. I'm assuming styrofoam containers. And
like someone unboxed something, like you just can't get it.
Styrofoam food containers, things like that. 4,200 hard plastic fragments.
Okay.
And don't forget, too, that the bottle that might go in as an entire bottle, by the time it gets down maybe to the mouth of the Mississippi, it breaks down into little microplastics. And these little microplastics end up in fish.
And we catch fish.
And we catch fish and eat fish.
Ugh.
Over 4,200 paper and cardboard items.
But what? So with those, no. Once again, it's a problem. We need to mitigate it, take care of it, and love our waterways and our land. Doesn't paper and cardboard, after a while, it becomes so soft, so wet, it just eventually dissolves?
It's my understanding, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, 844-967-2789. I believe that is accurate, and it doesn't leave behind, like, plastics do with microplastics. I might be wrong.
And I'm not saying throw your cardboard and paper out the window because it's fine. I'm just saying, like, the plastics, yes, that's a problem. All those things that cannot break down, the non-biodegradable or slow to biodegrade, those are the things we need to be looking after. So,
yeah, definitely. And the number one item, among the 10 most commonly found items in the Mississippi River, the number one item.
Human fingers.
No. Over 11,000 cigarette butts.
In my head, I did not think you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say something else, but that makes sense. That absolutely, of course, that makes sense. Yeah.
This is not something I am proud of by any stretch of the imagination. I am a social pariah. I'm a smoker.
Yeah.
I've been smoking for too long. I know I should stop smoking. Okay, I'm still smoking. It makes me crazy when people throw cigarette butts out the window or throw cigarette butts on the ground or carry it with you until you find a garbage can. I don't care what you do with it. We're already social pariahs as smokers. You just make us look worse. Stop making us look worse. Pick up after yourselves, for pity's sake.
Never mind your lungs. Don't be a litterer.
Well, but again, it's just
let's
be personal responsible and pick up our own stuff, shall we?
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. As a on again, off again smoker, I am very, very guilty of throwing it out the window. I am. Don't look at me like that. Hey, I'm admitting something here. I'm trying to find some comfort and support and telling you that make better strides. Yes. And I don't know. It's just the look. Ugh, people on the live stream, if you could see the look.
Don't you have empty soda cans in your car?
More than I care to admit.
And wouldn't that be a receptacle for something that you may be considering throwing out the window?
Well, also, it's just like you put it in there, it's all like smoky and it's just,
okay.
I make this promise as someone who is an off again, on again smoker. I'm really saying that because it's just hard for me to say I'm a smoker because that's not fun.
I'm ashamed.
I will do better.
Excellent. Real quickly, Karina from Milwaukee is joining us. Hey, Karina, what do you want to say?
Hi, guys. Real quick, I'm a smoker too. Same thing. Hate butts, hate smell of smoke, hate when the people are not. I think it's a personal. I don't like when people treat me like I have a disease what's going to suck at you if you're going to pass by me. I make sure that I don't smell like an ashtray. I make sure that my hands doesn't smell or anything like that. But this is what I do, so be respectful to me, too. That's one. And two, you know, I think Walter said that the test for a society is that of a humanity for society is how they treat their children. And a whole Florida situation and them going after kids at schools, daycares, and morality is just showing us where the schools are going to and how they're trying to reflect their ugliness.
Karina, we're up against the clock here. Thank you so very much for calling. When we return, what is your definition of a nap? 844-967-2789-844-96.
Party.
You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed.
Good morning, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Shout out to Richland Center, listening on WRCE, the news from the center. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Moving on to naps.
Oh, I love them.
I think this is going to be a very controversial segment.
I hope so. I hope we get tons of calls, texts. I hope someone writes an old-timey letter, like, to whom it may concern.
On the subject of napping.
Regarding your discussion.
On naps.
On naps. Yes. I wrote a book about it.
Thank you for the Wisconsin State Journal. I found this in there today. UW-Madison over the summer installed 3 nap pods at the Campus Recreation Center.
That's right. Repeat that again.
3 nap pods, which are apparently highly popular at the Bakke Recreation Center at the UW-Madison campus. There are 3 of these pods. They're first come, first serve. You can't reserve them, but apparently they're very busy between 1 and 3 p.m. most weekdays. Nap pods, this is not a new thing. There are lots of these all over at college campuses, all over the place. We only have 3. At UW-Madison, there are some 1,000 colleges that already have them across the country. So essentially, you walk down a little hallway, you get into a dimly lit room with a comforting light. The sign reads, "Rejuvenate," and then the door leads to nap pods where 3 students at a time can relax or get some shut-eye.
They love this in Florida.
I guess they do. There is a starry, nickel speckled night speckled ceiling that you can look up. They kind of look like dentist chairs with a cap. And I am very pro nap. I am personally pro nap. The users, according to this article in the Wisconsin State Journal, Users are only supposed to use the pods for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Or the length of time studies have shown a person needs to rejuvenate during a mid-afternoon nap. And that is where I have a problem.
Okay. That's where you have a problem?
Well, okay, there's a couple problems.
First of all, my biggest problem, and this is about as old man as I'm going to get probably today. No, it's not true at all. But I'll get pretty old man right now. Those are my tax dollars paying for nap pods.
Aren't they universe? Well, yes, university dollars.
Come here. Okay.
Also tuition.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I just, okay. So apart from the fact that like three on a campus of how many?
Right.
That's craziness.
That's pretty little.
What's your big problem, Jane?
Okay. Several issues here. I think they should be individual rooms. I know I would not be able to go to sleep and actually fall asleep if there are two other people in there and the door is closed and I don't know these people.
Fair.
That would make, I just don't think I'd be able to relax enough.
Let me ask you a question. In your college day age, like 18 to 22, would you have been able to do that? Like, were you a little more like, yeah, whatever, I'm just going to take a nap. Like, get a roommate. I'm going to take a nap. They're going to watch TV on the couch.
It's different though. It's with strangers.
Okay. That's all I'm wondering.
That would make me feel very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
That would make me feel very, very vulnerable.
That's very true.
So that's just me. The other thing is 20 minutes is not a nap. 20 minutes is slow blinking. 20 minutes does not count.
And here we have reached the true problem. It's not the pods. It's not anything. It's you don't like the definition in the article of a nap. Please, folks, don't get her started on what constitutes milk. If they say 20 minutes is what you need, I mean, they're experts. They study this stuff.
That doesn't mean there's not room for other data.
Your data. Jane Matinair.
No, not just me. 844-967- 2789, how long is a nap? How long is your nap?
How long is your nap?
How long is your nap?
See,
844-967-2789.
I would say that if we're just looking for a recharge, I would say the 15 to 30 minutes probably seems about right. If you're just, you just need to just take a little shut eye. But once you go over a certain point, like I feel like once you go over an hour, you're just sleeping.
Well,
you're not napping. You're not just getting a cat nap. You're not just like, I just need to lay my head down. My wife does this all the time. Bridget does this all the time. I'm going to lay my head down for 15 minutes. I'm like, see you in 90. Because it's what happens. She falls asleep. I'm not going to wake her up because she needs to rest.
And it's a nap.
But that's not, 90 minutes is not a nap.
If you have a child, if you have a small child at home.
Which I have none.
And we'll ask Kristen about this when she joins us on Wednesday at 10:33. Okay. If you have a small child and you were putting said small child down for a nap.
Yeah.
You would not consider 15 minutes success.
We are not talking about tiny children. They require different different amounts of sleep throughout the day. You can't use a baby as a comparison point here. We're talking about adults here, and the experts have said 15, 20, 30 minutes, that's a nice rejuvenating nap. Beyond that, because you said 2 hours.
When I was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would come home and I would sleep for 2 hours, and that was my nap.
And I can tell you the same thing. Getting up at 4 o'clock to do Up North News Radio, available 6 to 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Go.
Download the app. But I would take a nap midday. But I also don't consider it a nap. To me, it's a continuation of the sleep. Because it's not, it just doesn't qualify as a nap if it goes over a certain amount of time. You're just pre-sleeping.
You're deranged.
I'm deranged. Oh, I see. Just because you got the reins of this show, lady, doesn't mean anyone who disagrees with you is deranged.
844 967-2789, 844-96.
Party. Sorry, the reason why we got a text from the 608, listening on WMDX, best phrase ever, quote-unquote, slow blinking.
See? 15 minutes is not a nap. That's slow blinking.
That's not that's not saying they agree with you. They're just saying they liked your word choices.
I'm going to take that as confirmation.
Okay.
L from DeForest is on the line. Good morning, L. The Great Nap Wars. What do you think?
Well, first of all, you are absolutely correct. 15 minutes is nothing more than slow blinking.
Thank you, Al.
Number two, way back I used to work at a place in Poinette, my buddy and I, and when we got done working, he'd go home and take a nap. But what he would do is he'd go home and take an underwear nap. That's where he'd strip right down to his underwear and snuggle in the bed, sleep for a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. But he'd be so much more refreshed because he was truly relaxed instead of being in your street clothes, your socks on your feet and stuff. I take underwear naps. And if it ain't an hour, it's not a nap.
Thank you, Al. Yes.
Okay, first of all, I like the idea of underwear nap. I'm just going to call it sleeping, though, because I don't want to tell anyone I'm taking an underwear nap. That will get me in trouble at HR. And also, yes! An hour nap, fine. But beyond that, it's sleeping.
Two hours
is not napping.
Yes, it is. If it's a small child, that would be a nap.
Once again,
so we have to
talking about two different things here.
So at what age does the nap rule change?
My guess is somewhere around the area we become an adult, like 18, or maybe even when your brain's fully developed. I don't know. But my point is you can't make the comparison of an 18 to 22-year-old and napping needs, or a person of your age, or my age, or even Calvin's age, comparing to a child and a baby.
Thank you, Al, for calling in and agreeing with me because I'm right. 844-967-2789. What is your definition of a nap? How long does a nap last? This is the hot topic we're covering right now. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you so much for joining us, Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, I hope you guys are doing well today.
We are, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, yeah, I'm doing great. When I started driving over the road, the first company I drove with told us, if you start head bobbing, pull over, studies show you take a 20-minute nap, you'll be great. It actually worked. I thought they were nuts, too. But it actually worked. The first time I ever had the head bob, I found a place I could pull over. I pulled over. I set my alarm for a half an hour. I went into the back of the truck and slept for that 20 minutes to a half an hour by the time I got to sleep. And it was great afterwards.
That was long enough. That was the 20 to 30 minutes that you actually felt refreshed, because I'm always afraid, Troy, that I'm only going to feel more tired because I didn't sleep quite long enough.
I thought that same thing, but like I said, I went the rest of the day. I never didn't head bob the rest of the time. And, you know, we drive 10, 12 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy how well it worked.
Yeah. Are you still driving over the road, Troy?
No, I'm local now.
Nice.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's a tough job, and I know that. Thank you for calling, Troy.
As the son of a truck driver, I say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So many things move across this country by truck,
and that's actually a really big thing to talk about as well. Because I've referred to it before in the past, but John Oliver did a very interesting deep dive into trucking.
Yes,
and what was his name again? Jack? Who just
Troy.
Called? Troy. Troy, who just called from Mount Horeb. Those companies aren't doing that anymore. They're telling you to push through. They're telling you to take pills. They're telling you to drink caffeine. They're telling you to go outside.
Push through it.
Get some cold air on your face.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, I get up real early sometimes.
Yep.
I drive real late. And I know it's like for that head bob. And I got to take a deep breath, play some music, sing to the music, get myself going. And that's dangerous. But yeah, I mean, I have the problem where if I take a nap if I take that two hours sleep, I wake up and I'm like groggy, and it takes me another half an hour to get my bearings straight. So like for me, an hour or less, then I'm good. Because if I don't get that nap in sometimes, Oh, it's a cranky Greg.
Yeah, look out. All right, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
What is your definition of a nap? How long should it last? I want to share this text from Andrew from Verona. The next news story from UW is going to be nap chairs removed because of underwear napping incidents. We'll find out if that happens. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay close across the Civic Media Radio Network.
P90X, meet a really nice girl, have some really nice sex, and she's gonna scream out, this is great.
Oh my god, this is great.
Yeah, I might mess around and get my college degree. I bet my old man will be so proud of me. But sorry, pops, you'll just have to wait. Oh, yes, I said it. I said it. I said it cause I can't. Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. No, I ain't gonna comb my hair, cause I ain't going anywhere. No, 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 no.
I've been running around and I feel quite grumpy. I don't know what to do. My eyes feel heavy and there's food in my belly. I'm gonna be mean to you.
Good morning. And welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board. What was that bumper music there, Calvin?
That was called Take a Nap by Robin Johns. I've never heard of it before, right?
New now. Favorite.
Yeah.
A new favorite. We're talking about napping. This came from an article in the Wisconsin State Journal. UW-Madison has 3 nap pods where students can go and take a nap. It's supposed to be limited to 20 minutes. I maintain that a nap under an hour is merely slow blinking. Doesn't qualify as a nap, so we're taking your calls and your texts on how long is your nap at 844-967-2789.
I just want to see the headline says, Wisconsin woman drank kicking and screaming out of UW-Madison nap pods going, I ain't no slow blinker!
I get an hour. Mark from the SAC has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Doing great, and I don't know if there's a time. I mean, I take frequent little. I'm retired now, so I can take frequent little naps when I want to. For gosh sakes, I even take a nap up my tree stand sometimes. But I'm nice and secure up there in the stand, and it's all lashed down. I'm lashed down, and if I got my sleeping bag type suit up there, you know, it's nice and comfy, warm. So
you're making me tired, Mark.
And listen to the birds sing, and it just. It's refreshing. Sometimes it's just like, you know, 5-10 minutes is enough to just refresh you. I mean, I think that's what human bodies were designed to do. I mean, that, you know, we weren't designed to work, you know, sit at a desk for, you know, 8 hours a day or work in the factory for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, right. Reacted, mm-hmm.
You know, bursts of activity and then, you know, just relax. I mean, that, And and I think it's, I don't know that actually, you know, like I remember when I was in college that we just, you know, that the student union or something like that, there was a couch there. You just kind of sat one into a corner and or a corner of the couch and just kind of let your head nod down and take a little nap.
My dad always called it a snooze. He was going to take a snooze.
Yeah,
a little snooze.
My dad used to say the same thing.
He was a mortician, and so he worked some really odd hours. Thank you so much for calling, Mark. And you know, Mark has called before and talked about his tree stand. I want to just hang around with Mark and have like a tree stand next to his tree stand.
You're not going to say anything.
But I think there's lots going on up there, and we can hang a bird feeder, and then we can nap together, and it'll be fine.
Text from the 608, W listening to WRCE. In Richland Center, this is Robert or Maureen letting us know that research indicates power naps of 10 to 30 minutes with optimal times of 20 minutes can leave you refreshed without waking groggy, as often happens with longer naps. Oh, this is Robert. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, Robert. Okay.
Robert from Richland Center. All things happen. All things start in Richland Center.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY-NAP. How long does your nap last? Our friend and colleague, Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show across the network Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Good morning, Maggie. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Love the topic. So much fun. I was one of those college students, and when I was in grad school and law school, I would literally fall asleep in study carrels, like almost anywhere where I stopped moving for more than 5 minutes, I was knocking off. Like a sleep pod? Are you kidding? It sounds amazing. I'm also a huge fan of naps. For people that either have disrupted sleep or have weird sleep hours or trouble sleeping, boy, would it be nice to have that. I mean, yeah. I used to, when I was working at the law firms, you know, you'd be pulling like 80-hour work weeks. I'd tell my legal assistant, I'm going to put my head down on my desk for 15 minutes. Please come wake me up because I'd be so groggy. So I'm one of those weird people that can sleep almost anywhere. But I think it's great they've got these, as long as like no hanky panky's going on in the sleep pod.
Well, exactly.
And they're washing them.
Yes. I was thinking about the, you know, like a total germaphobe OCD-er. So I was like, what is the cleaning routine here? Is there like a wipe down after every sleeper? Like what's happening?
Probably.
Well, I don't think I like what our caller Troy said, or someone else earlier said, call it an underwear nap. I'm assuming they're not allowing underwear naps in the sleep pods at UW-Madison.
Don't infringe on my right to sleepitude, man. I got to get fresh in my undies. Yeah.
Because, yes, that would be a big issue.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, Maggie, 20 minutes works for you, a 20-minute nap, and you're good to go and you're refreshed?
It depends on, like, how tired I am. If I had to get up at 3 a.m. to do a radio show, I'd be knocking off for 2 hours, too. No judgment there at all. But basically, it was like catch-as-catch-can for me especially when I was in grad school and law school, because you'd be slamming in, like, so many hours of studying and reading. It was like, hey, if I can get 15 minutes, I will take it.
I'll take it.
Yep.
I would imagine kids sort of overstaying their pod welcome.
Absolutely.
You don't want, you know, fisticuffs doesn't really go with the whole Zen rejuvenating vibe.
Exactly.
So yeah. I hope people are self-policing well, right?
My concern, Maggie, about my dad could do the same thing. He could fall asleep anywhere. We would go to the mall and he would be waiting for my mom to finish shopping and a loud mall with Christmas music going and he'd put his head back and he'd be snoring in 10 minutes. Didn't you ever, if you put your head down in your desk, though, my biggest concern would be that I was going to wake up in a pool of drool.
Thankfully, God blessed me not blink of an eye, but also to not drool when doing so. So that was fortunate. But I had colleagues that would sort of move things out of the way and like just drool away because the need for sleep was so bananas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some law firms would have like cot rooms where lawyers would just go to like
collapse.
Anyway, bad things ensued. So they got rid of those.
Maggie Dawn, thank you so very much for joining us. Make sure you catch Maggie's show. She is brilliant. Every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a couple of other comments we wanted to get to real quickly. From the 920, listening in Madison on WMDX, I took a nap after lunch yesterday, and then I woke up at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I was totally confused because it was completely dark.
That happened to me once. My sister woke up and said, "Mom's got burgers." I'm like, "For breakfast?" She goes, "No, it's 6 p.m. It's still Tuesday."
Thank you so very much for joining us today. I want to thank Dan Lentz from Law Forward, Greg Bach, Calvin, and you for texting, listening, and calling. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.